Doors at 5 p.m. Opening bell will be at 5:30. Be sure to check out CFRC.ca and IWACanada.ca for additional event details. We hope to see you there, and we hope you're ready to rock the spire.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Located here in Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. And first thing I'd like to do is thank each of you for having tuned in to the first hour, where it's now just shortly into, just a few seconds into the second hour already. And so I hope you can stay tuned for more from that open mic that night. I'll go into that in a minute. But I would also like to thank all of those who participated in the event that evening, and to Grace and, of course, the Elm Cafe as well for taking good care of us and having us there that evening. Just a quick reminder, as something I normally do at the end of each hour, and since we kind of went over a minute or so, we'll do it now and then I'll do it again at the end of this hour, but just to remind you that both hours of this show are updated to my blog space for it shortly after I get home at, finding a voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. Usually get that done by about 7 o'clock, but some nights it's a little bit later, or if I have an issue, then it's even the next day, but usually that doesn't happen. Anyway, welcome back now to the second hour. It is approaching, actually, 2 minutes after 5 o'clock, and again, for those who just tuned in, since we're officially moving into this hour, you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM, again, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. I would like to mention that the open mic was a wonderful event again this month, just like it always is. And again, as you've heard, if you tuned into the first hour, there's several readers in there that were reading for the very first time. So there are always new faces as well. In this second hour, again, from that October 1st open mic event, you're going to hear almost everyone who read in the first round reading again in the second round. And so let me just go through the ones who will be reading in this second hour, in that second round: Thomas Senegulia, Dominic Naimu, Sarah Emtage, Jen Gregory, Anne Graham, Meg Freer, Jane McDonald, Linda Wild, Calista Markotic, Will Anderson, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Kinman Young Tai, Harlequin Crow, Anna Johnson, and then me again. But as we move into it, I always give people that can't make it, if they want to be part of this online version, I guess, of the audio version of the reading, if they send me their work, I will plug it in and air it as well. And so as a lead into that this hour, there is one person who normally sends poetry, but sometimes only poetry and music, and sometimes just music. And I'm going to start the second hour off with that. First thing, though, just my usual start of the hour announcement is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. And since I've already let you know that I do share work that's sent to me, I am going to go ahead and, before we move into the second round of those reading there that night, let's start off with the performance that was sent in by Ann Archer with Chris Jaeger, as they perform as Kasia. And let's see if I think I have the title of it as well up here. Yeah, this is a performance. The title of the piece is called Port Gordon 2. I'm not sure if those numbers are important. So let's just call it Port Gordon. How's that? And enjoy. Just heard again, Ann Archer and Chris Ishiguer as Kasia. They perform as Kasia. That piece again was called Port Gordon. And now, as we go ahead and move into the second round of readings at the Elm Cafe, that was held on October 1st, up first in it. You'll hear readings again in this round by Thomas Seneguglia, Dominic Nymol, Sarah Emtage, Jen Gregory, Anne Graham, and Meg Freer. Let's go ahead and just jump right back into it.
Let's bring up Thomas S.
This is called Things to Come. It's addressed to Robert Frost. Something trembles at the core. Hands feel a shaky surplus of things ripe to come. Perhaps not well received or well abided. The crow's talk of summer just collided with that cooler season that bleeds the leaves till brown and curled, and with gusty hands plucks them from the branches one by one, till mounds of what was summer once accumulate in lawns and forests and blot the wind in bloodied pigments that baffle painters with their crimson, while I sit yet in warmer times and itch the needle of what's to come, though I haven't been there yet and can't be sure I'd mind. Thanks.
To give Dominic another hand, let's bring up Dominic.
To be clear, I recognize the inherent irony in me reading this poem with a phone in my hand, but this phone, I was reading it and thought that I had to complete it, and it's interesting with poetry because sometimes you think that it needs an ending and you find that it's actually fine ending in the middle. So here we go. In every pocket an eye, in every hand an ear, a sentinel deployed to monitor our fear, our words, our thoughts, our every desire, behind the glass our enemies conspire. Oceans away, yet in every home, peering in from offices of glass and chrome, March to their rhythm or fall behind. Leave your money, your rights, but particularly your mind.
So give Dominic another hand. Let's bring up Sarah.
Thank you. So there's a really old poem called The Dream of the Rude, and I think I was listening to a poetry lecture about it. I don't actually remember that much about The Dream of the Rude at this point. But this was a poem that I wrote in sort of response or pulling pieces from that one. First freeborn splendor, humble me to earth. Humble me to my rest. Humble me to my work. Wardkeep of vaulted realms, keep me in your care. Keep me on your road. Keep me always near. Hero of heaven and my heart, blazon your better beacon on my being. Thank you.
And as we give Sarah another hand, let's bring up Jen.
This is a short one. I'm not sure if it is finished, but I thought I would just read it today anyway. It's called The Angry Wild Animal. Seething, panting, rasping, gaping, churning, wild, outside, in, inside, out. Beware, I have you in my sights, but do not look me in the eye. As I rise up roaring like a nightmare, wildfire train roaring.
Thank you. So we give Jen another hand. Let's bring up Ann.
Oh, well, we all seem to... Roaring is good. I wrote this when we used to have the 100,000 ports for change in September, but we're not going to have it anymore, evidently. Anyway, so what I want for change, democracy. I always believed in democracy, boasted it existed. Now I'm surprised, being more informed, I see the hypocrisy that money helps campaigns to be realized. Conglomerates and unworthy millionaires all have an open field to steal the day. They think they can easily buy their shares in Canada to get their own sweet way. Laws can be bought and sold for a fee in the courts. This inequity appears. Lawyers let the guilty rich go free, while minorities and poor pay their arrears. We need to get involved, get out and vote for real democracy to make things right. Test the waters before you jump the boat. Join any group or take up any fight. Watch if candidates walk their talk at home. See how they treat close family and friends. Are they as charismatic when alone after the public meetings and the TV ends? We must be vigilant, not lose our way. Equality is for every living being. Stay firm, stay focused, don't be led astray. Choose democracy, not hypocrisy.
As we give Anne another hand, let's bring up May.
So I don't usually write rhyming poetry unless I have to. And if I also have never, I had never really, except for limericks, written a particular form like a sonnet or a rondeau or a villanelle or a whatever, pantoon, whatever. But I challenged myself to write one of the French forms, a rondine. So it only has two rhymes, except for the last line of each stanza. This one only has two stanzas, except for the last line of each stanza does not rhyme with either of the other two rhymes, but it has to be the same last line for each ending. So this is called Atmospheric Rondine. Frigid winds swirl counterclockwise, dance dynamic, weeks of bleakness. Clear nights scatter hoarfrost ashes. Freezing fog garbs trees in rime ice. Stratosphere warms winter's blue skies. Polar vortex spins reverses. Frigid winds ease. Maps of movement change, we chastise. Moods that mimic our own weakness. Not the first time, ever endless. Not the last time for these cold nights. Not the last time for these cold sighs. Frigid winds swirl.
And you just heard a, lost my place here. I just heard readings by Jane McDonald, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Will Anderson. No, you didn't? See, I told you I lost my place. Let's just start over. You just heard again from the second round of readings at the Elm Cafe, and you heard in it readings by Thomas Seneguglia, Dominic Nimwall, Sarah Emtage, Jen Gregory, and Ann Graham, and then Meg Freer. Sorry for the confusion out there. Coming up next, you're going to hear readings by Jane McDonald, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Will Anderson, and then Brent Raycroft. Let's go ahead and just jump right back into it.
Let's give Meg another hand. Let's bring up Jane.
Hello again. This one is called Nocturne. My heart muscles, she told me, are my thighs. I pump and pump and pump at dusk as dark sprinklers hover on vague lawns. Over the culvert, fireflies, small stilettos prick the shadows, dimensions, shadows that propose grasses billowing darkly. I greet the woman, good evening, with the dog stood at the curb. Maybe I know her. Air curves cool across my neck and the two cross behind me. Against the artist's house, placards lean defeated for the night. The creek crams against the algal mat. Does my love miss me? One bird queries from its secret place. Dead basketballs deform in the schoolyard, and the asphalt track exhales. The decal on the transport truck declares it's certified idol for California. I can't recall how this crescent looked before its boulevard trees were removed. Color doesn't drain, it goes quiet.
So we give Jane another hand. Let's bring up Linda.
This poem is called The Weight of It, and it goes between Kingston and Oaxaca. The Weight of It. I see her tossing a small melon into the air, not high, just high enough to get a good feel for the weight of it when it lands back in the spread of her palm. She is young, perhaps 18, standing in a chilled grocery aisle, but she could be in the warmth of a garden patch. She tosses it two or three times, assessing its weight, its worthiness, before placing it in her cart. She is dark-skinned in a store where mostly white hands reach and touch tentatively, as one does in a small, waspish Ontario town. She will have a good life, I think. She has been schooled by someone who understands the wisdom of weight, what it means to be solid in the world. When I ask for a melon in the market in my Mexican town, the vendor inquires as to when I will eat it, selects one, and lifts it in both hands like the Eucharist, draws it near to his face, with eyes closed, inhales its aroma. And like the young woman, melon rested firmly in her palm, his hands rub the rough skin, handle the heft of it, know the worth of its weight. Thank you.
As we give Linda another hand, let's bring up Callista.
Thank you. This is a piece of flash fiction, which is the first piece of flash fiction I've ever written. The submission requirement was that it be 250 words. And this is 249 words. So whatever else went wrong, that works. I called it, and it's going to bring you back to high school. I'm sorry about that, but I think when you get to a certain place in your life, it's easier to go back than forward. Called The Shortcut. And the I in it is not me, so. Okay. She is so focused, this young sales girl, unpackaging sequined bandeaus. And I want to explain that the glitter eyelashes we bought here yesterday are not where they were. And we need another set because my daughter is getting a grade 9 art award. It's a costume thing. But she's had another panic attack today. But because her friend in art class said, oh, you have to, she still might go. But somehow she's lost one of the glitter eyelashes. And she says, you can hide behind two fake eyelashes, Mom, but one will be an attention getter. And she tries to laugh at her little joke, but her voice is so shaky, I could cry. But I say, honey, we still have time to get another set. But driving here, I hit a squirrel. So my daughter's in the car shaking because, honestly, everything breaks her. Everything. And the squirrel's in a plastic bag that I had to empty, and I thought, please let that missing glitter eyelash be in this bag. But no. But we scooped up the squirrel so she could bury it later. And I want to explain, my sweet, terrified daughter. But the young sales girl is so focused. Emerald, jade, sapphire, all that sequin flash. I dangle our one glitter eyelash in front of her. Say, we need two of these. The thing's tonight, and right now everything's a fucking disaster. And she looks at the dangling eyelash and at me and says, okay then. And she leads me to the eyelashes.
As we give Callista another hand, let's bring up Will.
Okay, so I'm going to just keep reading from where I left off. The clouds slowly start to slowly slow down. Then all of a sudden they stop completely. Time stops completely. And yet, a mere moment later, it all awakens again, and the clouds begin to pulse. A strange sensation stirs, propagating from pole to pole. A dull force exerts itself on my mind. This is new. This is not safe. And yet, I still want to keep dreaming, at least a little while longer. However, whoever is in charge, the voyeur, has clearly decided that I am not doing so in quite the right way. Still, I will dream on in a way at least as long as I can. To do so, I must maintain my mind in motion, almost as if I am attempting to stay bright-eyed and wide awake while, at the same time, keeping clear and distinct sensations of complete and utter exhaustion safely at bay. I must be here while I am. I reach out, searching for the heaven of truth, hoping to avoid clouds of error. I try to hold on, hold off, hold out, but as they say, clinging to clouds rarely works that way. And so, finally, at long last, I let it all go and allow a cool heavenly breeze to fully take possession of me. My eyes close, my breath goes, and my spirit slowly drifts away. Thank you.
Give Will another hand. Let's bring up Brent.
Thanks again, Bruce. Out of place. The blue sky and the clouds forming freely high on the horizon seem out of place in the drone footage video above the ash-gray concrete ruins, chunks of grids of ripped open rooms, the roofs brought low, angling into street-wide troughs of rubble out to the same horizon. No, not ruins. Not ruins yet, in fact. Not yet empty of inhabitants. As life is crushed and death that blessing, and death's obscene and unattended aftermath go on beneath. In the snug quiet room where later we shut down the doom scroll and sleep, I stretch a sky blue sheet and see a feather, short and broad, the size of a coin, but hazy, escaped, I should know, from the down of a duvet or pillow. It looks out of place, darker than the pale expanse it has settled on. But the look is of ash, as if one airborne flake has floated all that way, has reached me at last. I don't see a feather making my bed. I see ash.
From again the October 1st and the Journey Continues open mic reading at the Elm Cafe. You just heard readings by Jane McDonald, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Will Anderson, and Brent Raycroft. It is almost 29 and a half minutes, I guess, after 5 o'clock. And you are listening to Finding a Voice. I'm going to play the final set of sessions of readings that evening, in a few seconds, but I probably should run these first, and then I'll be right back on the other side of that. How's that?
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and events listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Join us here on CFRC on November 11th for an afternoon and early evening in honor of Sheila Rogers, Queen's University's 16th Chancellor. Listen to the convocation ceremony in Grant Hall that will include her official installation as Chancellor starting at 2:30 p.m. and then join in the fun wherever you are in the world for the Chancellor's installation reception broadcasting live from the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 5:30 to 7 p.m. featuring outstanding Chancellor-curated music and engaging speakers such as the Principal of Queen's, the Rector, and the Chancellor herself. We look forward to celebrating with you on November 11th. Learn more on the Queen's Chancellor installation webpage. This is our life.
And you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. It is crowding 33 minutes after 5 o'clock, and I do have some extra time this afternoon to share some announcements with you of upcoming events and calls for submissions, and but I also have a few more segments public service announcements to play, and I will be doing that. I have enough time that I'm including a song at the very end of the hour to take me out and bring Rob in for his show with Saltwater Music, but we'll talk about that more in a few minutes as well. Coming up next, the final session from the October 1st and the Journey Continues monthly open mic at the Elm Cafe. And in it, you're going to hear readings by Eric Folsom, Kinman Young Tai, Harlequin Crow, Anna Johnson, and then me. And let's go ahead and just slide into all that now.
As we give Brent another hand, let's bring up Eric.
Thank you. Right, forward into the past. It's probably 1970. I'm probably 18. Perfectly straight. No laughing. Perfectly straight. Two teenage boys sitting opposite on a bed, holding guitars and practicing something. Your fingers reached for new chords you'd found. I chimed in on the chorus. Touch me, heal me. Hands somewhat larger than mine, exploring places in the music where I tried to follow. Awkward in movement, shoulders bunched forward. The sort of person who moved as if they didn't know quite how big they were. yet I saw you throw a baseball, make it curve like magic, put my vigilance at ease, and pull music out of six strings with humbucking pickups, teen clumsiness masking civility and poise. A local kid once mistook your generosity for open-minded charity in the varieties of love. His impolitic suggestions were met with heated anger. By Monday afternoon, the whole school knew, and the balance of the year was mob humiliation. I hope he was happier after he left town. But cautious, weird me, kept my eyes on your fingers, those long, blunt hands, and I remember your voice, ungainly yet kind, held no trace of self-conscious ego. I learned to harmonize, learned what not to say. The both of us perfectly straight, I thought, then. P.S., I was wrong about me. Was I right about you?
So we give Eric another hand. Let's bring up Kin Man.
Early September. While I stall and brood, birds from the sky descend onto high wires, then branches, and one, the rail from the edge of the roof. On the garden borders, the annuals with flowers for a goodbye. A black squirrel negotiates the gap in the hedge with a walnut in its jaws. The sunlight now laying out new paths under the spruce. And when I raise my gaze, a bright burning orb around the edges. With the shadows dancing on the railings, the trees with a rush melody, the warmth on my right cheek and brow, a chase of sleep. And in the waking, where the soul seeks out the newness in a day, mind though is lazy, torpid, lost between dreams and the fragments, there to recognize in old paths and carry forward, if I so insist, ever the hamlet in the brooding or the surrender to the gods and fate. The summing up in a mortal tune measures well my courage and resilience. As I depart, the black squirrel with the walnut scampers back down the steps. Thank you.
To give Kin Man another hand, let's bring up Harlequin.
Just a quick plug before I read. Let me double check the date. Assuming my phone cooperates. October 26th, so just a couple weeks away, Limestone City Burlesque is going to be doing their Tassels of Terror show at Daft Brewing, and I'm going to be performing. So if you want to see me do spoken word in high heels, now's your chance. Revenant. He never missed Pride Night, foot tapping in time to off-key karaoke. Not that there's any other kind, as he sat in his customary booth at the back of the bar. Evenings surrounded by seats filled only in memory, although a few always found more solid occupants by night's end. No request to share his table ever refused. Each acquaintance, new or old, welcomed with a smile further creasing his face, as laugh lines mixed with those from old emotional scars, remnants of surviving the 1980s. Plague years, too often spent mourning friends whose cause of death read lack of political will, surely cause for despair. And yet, he smiled. A little more peace made with his pain each time he saw another unsuppressed spirit make the journey. At times, admittedly painfully, to finally reach themselves. Thank you.
As we give Harlequin another hand, let's bring up Anna.
Thank you. This is still Youth, California, and it's not me. Well, I'd like to think it's not me. All right. The end of summer. It's the end of June in this tense, evanescent time when the sunshine is vulnerable and strong, but not so strong, and the tree leaves are blowing plentifully, green, looking for something. At the tender age of 18, my son announces that his girlfriend Naomi is coming to bid him farewell. Tyler and Sam, too. Busying myself frantically, tidying the house, ordering my thoughts. They'll break up today, a mutual decision. She'll be studying far away. He'll be gone for 2 months. He'll come home on August 24th. He'll respond to my text messages, but only call 7 times. He lifts the bright blue carry-on suitcase up the stairs. He starts packing only a couple of hours prior to his departure, laying out clothes on his bed. I don't wish to cause you delays, so I'll let you be in your minimalist ways. I hear the washing machine rumbling misery, the dryer grieving hollow air. His hair bouncing on his forehead, cut for last week's high school graduation, ready for California sun. He'll reunite with his father, living on the boat, teaching sailing at the yacht club to 6 to 12-year-olds. They'll be glad to see him again. University's next, come September. Engineering, as you all know already, is his passion, sharpening his domain. You live on campus, your room here a ghost. Nothing can contain this grief. The emptiness of this ending of motherhood, the end of a life. Just outside the front door, I bring him towards me. I tighten, try to hold back tears, a smile, have fun. I go into the house, I pass by his empty room, tears again, and then a half moon smile. All the joyful times we've just had. His graduation, my loving furtive glimpses across the backyard, champagne, cake with his friends while I visit with parents, 18 holes of golf on his birthday, fajitas with his older brother, embarrassed by the singing waitresses getting him up on the chair. On my way to bed, I'm drawn to my office. No one to mother. I mother myself. I read, I question all the self-help books. I write this poem, Dancing Words, the page attentively listening, disentangling intensity. My hand presses onto the notebook, the swoosh of each letter drawn, each curve transforms into a letter, then words, sentences, alchemizing pen to page, daughter, niece, friend, teacher, mentor, I meet my current self. Hello, who are you?
Give Anna another hand. And while we're at it, even in this round, we've heard lots of wonderful readings. Let's give yourselves and everybody else another one. And Grace.
Uh,
I don't take the train very often, but I did about 2 weeks ago or three or so, somewhere in the middle of September, and I wrote this while I was sitting there waiting for the train to come. And probably the longest title I've ever written in my life, because they're always usually one word or two, At Kingston Waiting for a Train to Coburg. Waiting at a train station, watching a freight train go thundering by. As it goes, it believes it is steel and strong. I can watch it through the windows in the wall. The wall there believes it is brick and stone and mortar and strong. But between that wall and me, there is a full glass wall dividing and adding another space. It is glass. It is invisible. It believes it is air and strong. But as I watch the glass watching me, it realizes it may disguise itself as air, but cannot yet pretend itself as breath. Thank you. And thank you all for coming out. And heartfelt thanks. You are what makes this the wonderful reading series that it is. So my thanks to all of you. Our next time here is going to be the first Tuesday of November. Crazy. And I believe that's the 5th. So I look forward to seeing all of you there.
And you just heard in the last of the readings at the October 1st and the Journey Continues monthly open mic series at the Yom Cafe, you did hear readings by Eric Folsom, Kin Man Young Tai, Harlequin Crow, Anna Johnson, and me. And tell you what, let's do this, and I'll be right back with some other announcements. How's that?
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, it won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, earn a ticket towards one of our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from wonderful local businesses including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Improbable Escapes, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long & McQuaid, Martello Alley, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via CFRC.ca.
And you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And right now it's crowding 50 minutes after 5 o'clock, so getting very close to the end of the show. I don't think I allowed enough time to talk much about events coming up next week, but let me see what I have here quickly. One thing while I'm leafing through here, what I would mention is that you've heard a couple of ads about the funding drive. I mentioned it at the start of the hour, and for sure, I'd really encourage you. I'm going to talk more about it next week, and I'll make sure there's enough time in between segments to allow me to talk about it. But between now and then, I'd really encourage you, go to our website, www.cfrc.ca, and we've got a whole section there. If you just click on the link when it shows up, the icon or photo or whatever you call that thing on the screen, because all of our pages just keep rotating through on that homepage, and click on the one that talks about the funding drive. There are going to be a lot of things going on for the next 2 months. The funding drive runs from today, the 1st, until December 31st. So please do check that out. One event that's coming up this coming week that's not part of the funding drive but is part of Kingston Writers Fest. They always usually have one or two postseason events. This year they're going to have two. The first one is going to be with Elizabeth Renzetti and her new book, What She Said, Conversations About Equality. You can go to their website, or you can also go to Facebook, and you can get tickets there and sign up there. It's going to be held at the Screening Room Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. There's also a book launch at Novel Idea the following night, Thursday, November 7th at 7 p.m. Yvonne Blomer, Ariel Gordon, and Sue Sorensen, they're going to be launching a reading from their latest work, and it's going to be hosted by Elizabeth Green. So two things to look forward to this coming week that way, too. I do have a song to take us out of here today, so I'm just going to start going into sort of the few closing things I normally say. I do want to thank you for having tuned in to the show this afternoon. I hope to catch you here next week. I do want to also thank all of those who came out to the open mic and either shared words with everybody or were there to listen and support. And also, again, to the cafe, the Elm Cafe, and to Grace that evening. I do want to mention as well that my usual end of the hour announcement is that that both hours of this show are each week uploaded to my blog space for this show shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on CFRC WordPress. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. I'm getting ahead of myself. Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. They do remain there for about 3 years, so there's plenty of time to check it out, but don't let it get too far behind if there's something that you wanted to hear again or part of it that you didn't catch today. Also want to mention that I hope you can stay tuned at the top of the hour to 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music that's hosted by Rob Carnell. That's coming up right at the top of the hour. Also, I don't know if I gave really the closing credit to the radio station itself. You are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Again, we are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream always live online again at www.cfrc.ca. Again, please do check out our page for the funding drive. You can, if you want to donate, everything is very well explained there. You can donate either through it's all on the website. You can donate through Queen's University, or you can donate directly through us as well. You can just pick which one you want there. I will talk more about it, and I'll be a little more organized about it next week. These first days into something for me sometimes don't quite set. Anyway, thank you again. And here is Procol Harum with a song called Salty Dog.
On deck, we've run afloat. I heard the captain cry, explore the ship, replace the cook, let no one leave. Ships come home to die. No lofty peak, no fortress bold could match our captain's eye. From ship to shore.